Amen. God bless you, folks. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 16. We'll start reading in verse number 12 this morning as we begin our 39th message in our study of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 16 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, now the mouth of the beast, now the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, and gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent or around 100 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." As we come to the sixth vial, it brings us up to the point here, and it makes mention already of the Battle of Armageddon. In the sixth vial, there's mention made here of the drying up of the waters of the Euphrates River so that the ways of the king of the east could be prepared. Now, folks, please keep in mind that as far as our understanding goes, we would be better off to understand the Battle of Armageddon as a prolonged campaign rather than just a short battle or a short war. I'll not take time right now to do this, but later on we probably will take the time to do it. The Bible makes mention of the fact that further back in the tribulation period, just around or shortly after the midpoint of the tribulation period, the Bible makes reference in one of the prophetic portions the fact that the Antichrist hears a discouraging word or a troubling word from the kings of the east. Now, what is going to happen? The Antichrist becomes the beast, becomes the world dictator at the middle of the tribulation period. But folks, almost immediately, by the time he becomes known as the world dictator, almost immediately nations of the world become restless because of that and begin to fight against it. Immediately upon being recognized as the world dictator, the kings of the east will begin to prepare for war, and the beast knows at that point in time that he is going to have to fight the kings of the east. They're mentioned here in reference to the sixth vial judgment and the drying up of the Euphrates River. The Bible says here that the river is dried up. Now, we mentioned a little bit about this last time. Remember, this matter of the waters drying up is not something that's unheard of in the Word of God. Of course, we know that God dried up the Red Sea for the children of Israel to be able to cross the Red Sea. And the Bible says that they crossed over on dry land. It was only 40 years later, 40 years after the drying up of the Red Sea, that God did the same thing to the Jordan River when it was during the time of the year when it was in flood stage. The account where the priests came down, they were bearing the ark, and when their foot touched the river, the Bible says that the waters heaped up to either side, and they actually walked across the the Jordan River, even though it was overflowing its bank during the flooding time of the year, at that crossing. So the Bible is mentioning again this matter of the drying up of the waters. And at least as important, now I don't want there to be any mistaking here, I understand this as literal, and I believe it to be literal. I believe that the waters of the Euphrates River literally dry up. I have no doubt in that. But I believe that just as important as the actual physical drying up of the waters is the symbolism that's involved there, that the boundary of the Roman Empire, this revived Roman Empire, is opened up and the way is made accessible for these other nations to flood in the war. It seems like in the mind of man that at the beginning of the movement of nations that ultimately ends with the Battle of Armageddon, it seems as you look at all the prophetic scriptures that deal with this, that the nations begin to come against one another to fight one another to start with. But in the course of, now remember, God's in control of all of it, in particularly the Lord Jesus Christ is in charge of all of it. But as they begin to, the movement of their armies, some of the armies, the kings of the east, are going to come with the intent of fighting the armies of the beast. But in the process of that movement of nations, God intervenes, and when they're all ultimately gathered together, instead of fighting one another, they end up supposedly going to war against the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know the end of that, but we'll be looking at that in detail when we get to that portion of Scripture. But here in the sixth trump, here in the sixth vial judgment, the judgment is poured out upon the great river Euphrates. The waters dried up, the kings of the east, that the ways of the kings of the east might be prepared. The kings of the east would include such nations as China, Japan, India, Indonesia, Malaysia, Vietnam, and other nations, literally the kingdoms of the east. Now I believe it's interesting to note here, as based on my understanding of the Word of God, that the kingdom of the beast is in the rebuilt Babylon in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Now that kingdom is both dark and dry. In the fifth vial judgment, the judgment was poured out and there was a supernatural darkness that came over the kingdom, the throne of the beast. Now, whether you understand that to be a local darkness or a worldwide darkness, that'll be up to you to decide. But there's no doubt that there's darkness in the area of the throne of the beast. I believe that place is Babylon. It's dark there, supernaturally dark, and now the river that runs through there is dried up. God is showing that He is God, and He's attacking directly the center of operation of Satan and the beast and the false prophet in the last portions of the tribulation period. In verse number 13, the Bible says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, and they are the spirits of devils." Folks, I believe that to be exactly literal. I believe that they're actually spirits of devils, demons that come out of the mouth of the beast and the false prophet and the dragon or Satan. Now, as you read commentaries, you'll read a lot of commentators that they try to make these to be things like the wicked propaganda, if you will, that's put out by the beast. And all kinds of things are brought up here. In other words, they would say, well, this is symbolic language here, but it's actually referring to so-and-so. I do not believe that this is symbolic language. I believe that it's referring specifically to what is simply stated here, that the spirits of devils come forth from them and go out to all the kings of the earth. Now, through demonic miracles and wonders, these demons incite the kings of the earth to try once and for all to thwart the plan of God. It says, for they are, verse 14, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, folks, remember, we're in a day in the tribulation period where demon possession is such as has never been. The demons have free course during that time to take over the bodies of men and women. And they take over and control and move to do whatever they want them to do. That's what you have here. The demons go forth. They take over the bodies and the minds and the will of the leaders of the world and many other people of the world. And they perform. The Bible says here that for those that may doubt and those that may resist for momentarily, it says for spirits of devils working miracles. They're able to work miracles and do great signs to persuade people to follow them and to do what it is that they're moving them to do. What do they say? What do they say to the people to get them to do what they want them to do? I want to read a portion in the book of Joel, chapter number 3, verses 9 through 12. Here's what the demons say to the rulers of the world. Proclaim ye among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down. O Lord, let the heathen be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for thou will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Now, folks, Joel's talking about what God's going to do. But that portion tells us what the demons do. The demons go out and they tell the weak, you're really strong. They say, look, get whatever you can to fight with. Beat your plows and your things that you plant the crops with. Turn those into weapons. Get whatever you can. Make whatever you can. And come up and we'll be strong and we'll march against God Himself. Well, the movement of nations takes place. This movement of nations, folks, takes place pretty much throughout the last three and a half years of the tribulation period. The nations are moving. The armies are assembling. They're jockeying for position. And they all ultimately come and meet in the valley of Jehoshaphat, the plain of Esdraelon, the hill of Megiddo. As you look at all the portions of the Word of God, the army is going to be spread out, starting at Jerusalem and going southward all the way down to the country of Edom. The armies that assemble, folks, will stretch out for some 200 miles in length, some 14 miles in width, as they assemble and ultimately are all destroyed in the battle of Armageddon. Verse 15. Let me get back there. Verse 15, you have a parenthetical warning, encouragement to the tribulation saints. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks right here in the midst of all that's being said. And He says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Folks, the time is short now. The persecution is great. the end is coming. And he gives one more word of encouragement to those suffering people of God during this terrible time in the world's history. He tells them, he says, listen, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. You won't have to endure but just a little bit longer. And it'll all be worth it. Your nakedness won't be shown like that of the unbelievers, but you'll find yourself clothed in my perfect righteousness. Verse number 16, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. We'll say much about Armageddon. I have in the notes under verse 16 a quote from Dr. Walvert's commentary on Revelation, and you might want to read that later on. Verse number 17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Folks, the seventh vial brings us to the end of a tribulation period. The seventh vial brings us all the way up to the battle of Armageddon. Here's how I see things happening. The vials begin to be poured out, progressively getting worse and worse. The armies of the world move like a flood across the earth. The kings of the east with their almost numerous armies, they move across the dried up Euphrates River and head into the valley. The armies of the beast are there. Now remember, a lot of things have taken place. It's my belief that the beast originally moves his armies toward Jerusalem because it's his intent to strike at the 144,000. I believe that they've made their way. They went over all the earth preaching the Word of God. They know it's nearing the end of the tribulation period. It's the time for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. They know the Word of God. They know the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to the Mount of Olives. I believe the 144,000 make their way to Jerusalem and encamp round about Jerusalem. The beast begins to move his armies that way in order to make war not only against the 144,000 but against the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Satan is the one that's in control of these things. From the human standpoint, from the standpoint of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is orchestrating everything that's taking place. The beast begins to take his armies toward Jerusalem with intent of fighting against the Lord Jesus Christ, destroying the 144,000, the armies of the east, and indeed all the armies on earth that have been incited by the demon spirits that went forth from the beast and the false prophet and Satan. They all begin to move their armies toward Jerusalem and the valley surrounding Jerusalem. Their intent at the beginning, I believe, is to fight against the armies of the beast. By the time they get there, plans have changed. And they see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and they turn their attention heavenward with the intent of striking at the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, but they'll fail. As they're spread out, the armies of the world, as they're spread out in the valley of Armageddon, as they're spread out there, possibly as many as 200 million men or more, just before actual warfare takes place, the seventh vial is poured out. With the pouring out of the seventh vial, word begins to spread through the ranks of the great army. And here's what's being said. Have you heard? Have you heard? Every city on earth has been destroyed by a great earthquake. Have you heard? The city that you're from, the country that you're from, the cities are no more. They're all gone. And in their distress over that, possibly, stay with me now, possibly from the earthquakes and the volcanic activity from those earthquakes, great stones like hail began to rain down out of the sky. The army that spread out some 200 miles in length and 14 miles in width, multitudes of them are smashed, their bodies mangled and crushed by the weight of the falling stones of hail. Before they can even recover from what's happened there, they look and they see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and immediately their hearts melt within them for fear when they see the majesty of the Son of God. And the seventh angel, verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done. This is the last one." There were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Now, folks, keep in mind, this language here, the terminology about the voices and thunder and earthquake, we've seen that at least three times before already. The same language is used in chapter 4 and verse 5. The same language was used in chapter 8 and verse 5. The same language was used in chapter 11 and verse 19. When great judgment was about to fall, it was introduced, if you will, by the frightening display of thunder and lightning and voices from heaven that men on earth heard. The Bible says that there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Would you turn if you have your outline, you want to look there, page 159, just for a moment. Page 159. You have a section that's entitled Earthquakes and Other Convulsions of Nature. And in here, I've just went down and in order as they appear in the book of Revelation, I've listed the different earthquakes that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. In chapter 6 and verse 12, by the way, there's three great earthquakes that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. The one we're at now is the greatest of the great. But there's three great earthquakes. In chapter 6 and verse 12, there's a great earthquake. In chapter 11 and verse 13, there's a great earthquake. And here in chapter 16 and verse 18, there's a great earthquake. There's also three other earthquakes that are specifically mentioned in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 5, and Revelation chapter 11 and verse 19. There's also earthquakes mentioned there. Two other places, excuse me. Folks, as far as I can understand and as near as I can tell, these earthquakes are pretty evenly spread out in the book of Revelation. There's a great earthquake at the beginning of the tribulation period. There's an earthquake about if you took the beginning of the tribulation in the middle. There's a great earthquake at the beginning. There's a great earthquake at the middle. There's a lesser earthquake in about the middle. If you go from the middle to the end, there's that great earthquake that's at the middle and the great earthquake at the end. There's another mention at about the center of that section. So throughout the tribulation period, there are earthquakes mentioned. It's a common occurrence. But I want you to keep this in mind. Folks, the earthquakes that take place in the tribulation period are not just natural disasters. They are the act of Almighty God. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17 concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that He made all things and by Him all things consist. The word consist is a word that means held together. It's a word that we get our word cohesion from. Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ make everything that's been made, the Lord Jesus Christ actually holds everything that's been made, holds it together every moment of every day. You know what happens in reality when an earthquake takes place? Whether it's in the tribulation period or whether it's today. When an earthquake takes place, it means that by a conscious decision of His will, the Lord Jesus Christ has chosen to withdraw His power and allow that quivering, if you will, of the earth's crust and the eruption from deep in the earth to take place. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that holds it together. You can't have an earthquake unless He allows it by a conscious decision of His will for it to take place. That's what takes place. The earthquake in chapter 16 and verse 18, though, it's unlike any earthquake that has ever taken place. It says, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Now the great city is Jerusalem. In this earthquake that takes place right now, there's only one city on the face of the earth that is not destroyed in it. That city is the city of Jerusalem. It's divided into three parts, the Bible says, but it's not destroyed. It says in verse 14 that, "And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God." Now, folks, it doesn't really matter here. The meaning is not changed. If you are of the opinion that Babylon referred to here is actually the city of Rome, or any other city for that matter, it really doesn't make any difference. What's being referenced there is the city that is the headquarters of the beast in the last 3.5 years. It came into remembrance. Now, not much is said about it right here. But folks, what you would need to do, you need to write down in your Bible margin there that this city, we're going to get the details of its destruction in chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. We're going to see all the detail about the destruction of Babylon in chapter 18. But it's actually destroyed at this point in time. Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. And look at verse 20. "And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found." Now folks, this is an amazing thing. This is an amazing thing. All the cities of the nations are destroyed. All the islands, if you will, fall down into the sea. All the mountains are brought down low. They're all smoothed out in this earthquake. Now, folks, I want you to understand what God's doing. God is at the same time bringing destruction on the earth and on lost men that has never been imagined in the heart of men. And at the same time, God, in His almighty power, is rearranging the earth to be back like it was before the flood. Do you know why we've got great mountains and the great valleys, the Grand Canyon and all? I was thinking, folks, some of you here were on the trip. I was thinking of some years ago on the missions trip we went toward the end of the trip. We went up to Glacier National Park. And oh, it was beautiful. I mean, it was take your breath away. You get up there and you look out over from the mountain. You look down over those great valleys and you see all of that. It's beautiful to me. It's beautiful. But folks, that's not the way the earth originally was. You know how it got that way? It got that way during the flood. The great valleys were gouged out and the mountains were formed by the erosive nature of the waters that flooded the entire earth. In this earthquake, the Bible God is going to change the geographical features of the earth back to the way it was before the flood in preparation for the millennial kingdom and the conditions during the millennial kingdom. Listen to what the Bible says. You see what you have here in verses 19 and 20 is a fulfillment of prophecies in the Bible such as Isaiah chapter 40, verses 4 and 5. Listen to what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Folks, if you turned over in your Bible, I'm not going to turn there now. If you turned over to Zechariah chapter 14, verses 4 through 10, the Bible talks about Jerusalem and how that Jerusalem will cleave in the midst when the Lord Jesus Christ touches down on the Mount of Olives. And from the valley that's created there, there'll be a great river that'll flow out, and that river will flow out onto the millennial earth to water the earth during the millennial kingdom. And all the movement that takes place here, Jerusalem is going to be divided by the earthquake, but not destroyed. The nations are going to be destroyed. The mountains are all going to be brought down. The earth is going to be smoothed out, if you will. And God at the same time is bringing great judgment and also great restoration that we'll see the benefit of during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Folks, I may be wrong about what this hell is. Maybe the hell is not the stones that fall as a result of all the volcanic activity. Maybe the hell is actual meteors that the Lord rains from heaven down upon the earth. You see, I really don't need any kind of a, quote, humanistic theory to be able to believe this, folks. But I do believe that the two, since they're all together, I do believe that it makes sense that the two things are tied in. The great earthquake and all the activity that would be associated with it, and the raining of the hail, they're mentioned in conjunction or tied in with one another here in the Word of God, and I believe that that makes good sense. Maybe it's not, though. Maybe it's something else. But they rain down, and men are killed. This judgment brings us to the end of the tribulation period. I believe that this judgment is taking place after the armies are in place. Immediately after this judgment, by the time the hailstones quit falling, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ appears in heaven riding on the white horse. The saints, that's us, we're following along behind Him. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ rides in, and from the south toward Edom, the Lord Jesus Christ begins to move northward toward Jerusalem. And as he moves northward, the Bible says that the sword goes forth from His mouth and destroys the armies of the world. He makes His way northward. He destroys the armies of the nations. He comes up, and ultimately He sets foot on the Mount of Olives. Things will take place then. The judgment of the nations will take place. The Lord Jesus Christ will set up His millennial kingdom, and He'll rule and reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. We'll keep going next week, Lord willing.